We will understand it better by and by. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing this morning? Yeah, it's good. It's good to be in the Lord's house and just spend some time worshiping the Lord together. Got out of my truck this morning and the chimes were playing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. You know, that's going to be one of the joys of heaven, is being unencumbered or no problem with singing the Lord's praise, but we can be singing His praise even now. The Bible says, come into His presence with thanksgiving and lift up your voices in praise. And so we come to worship Him, to praise Him, to thank Him for all the blessings of life. So glad that you're here. We've been through some weird weather this week, and it's going to be getting a little warmer, but we're glad to be in God's house. Maybe pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for the blessings that we have today through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the cross, for the death that was shed there, the blood that came flowing down, that took away our sin, healed our diseases, blessed us in so many ways. Father, thank You for the marvelous love that sent Your Son. And Father, we do wish for a thousand tongues to sing Your praise. For there is none other like You. There is none other but You. High and lifted up. And Father, we know that around the throne of heaven this morning, saints of the ages are crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and majesty and power." And Father, we join them in that grand moment of praise for what a wonderful, wonderful Lord You are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. It is so good to be here this morning. And I, too, enjoy the chimes. When the wind's blowing just right, I can hear them at home when I get up. And that's good, too. It took a lot of work to get it done. And I thoroughly enjoy them. And I thank the ones that work so hard. That's exactly right. All right. Well, good morning. It's time to do our hymn sing this morning. And we've got one that we got A Child of the King. So if you would please stand with me, let's sing three verses of A Child of the King. Hold it up.
sinner by choice and an alien by birth, but I've been adopted, my name written down, an heir to his mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child.
And amen. You'll stand for prayer, please. Good morning again. I have some announcements I want to share with you at this time. You go follow along with me in the bulletins if you wish. But next Sunday we'll have a call conference, and the purpose of the call conference, will the nominate committee will be presenting to you people who replacements for the ones who have resigned positions in the church. So we have several of those. I want to comment on the nominating committee's quick work or speedy work, and We had one meeting, and we had this solved thanks to you all who said yes. We had it solved pretty quickly, didn't we, Jan? So it all worked out really, really well. So thank you all to the nominating committee, and thank you for those who said yes. We appreciate that. And you'll be hearing about all those next Sunday. Baptist Men's Day, we've moved today. And I know that Brother Jeff sent all of you a note and let you know by illness. And, of course, the illness has to do with his son. So if you would, Jeff, you have something you want to share at this time. And
we want everybody to show up next week. He'll be here. He's looking forward to it. He was disappointed he couldn't be here and apologized for it. But he got sick and didn't feel comfortable traveling under the circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're looking forward to all of you showing up and enjoying the Baptist Men's Day.
8 o'clock breakfast, and we'll go from there, right?
Yep, and the cooks need to be here at 6.
Yep. So just moved it one Sunday. So stay ready to go. We'll be ready to go next Sunday. And everyone, and Jeff said that last Sunday, but everyone's invited to breakfast. Yes, it's a Baptist Men's Day, but we're inviting you all, everybody, come. Children, adults, old people like me, everybody come. So we want to have you here. We'll have you here. Okay. Now, annual contribution statements are in your mailboxes, so I know the tax man cometh. So if you will, please go back and take a look at that. Please, you pick up your statements. Sanctity of human life, and the bottles are coming back in. Tom, do you have anything you want to add to that? So,
I just need them back on the 9th, so we've got a couple more weeks, and we do have 3 that's still available up on the remembrance table. So if you didn't have an opportunity to get one, you can still grab you one today and fill it up and bring it back on the 9th.
And if you want to write a check, you can write a check, write it to the Pregnancy Research Center, right? Okay, very good. Thank you. Also, you members of the Constitution Committee, remember next on February the 9th, which is Sunday after next, we will have a meeting here. We have some work to do. So come and be part of that meeting, if you're a member of the committee. All right, that's all the announcements I have. And if I left anything out anywhere? All right, we'll go to our prayer requests. And I have several that I have already. Of course, we want to remember Justin, Jeff's son, who should be here today, but he's still ill, but getting better. And that's the good thing. That's the good thing. But let's keep him in our hearts and our prayers. Let's remember Harry Stogner. Harry is a former member here at Barber's Grove for many, many years, as a matter of fact. And his children actually grew up here, and they really did. So let's remember Harry Stogner, who's dealing with cancer this morning. Let's deal with him. Let's pray for him. Kelly Jordan is another one that was brought into our prayer this morning that we need to remember prayer with cancer. Let's remember them. Let's remember Betty Davis. Betty Davis has apparently had some bad times yet. And so let's remember her. I was able to talk to her this week, and she sounded good to me on the phone. But then after that, I understand she digressed a little bit. So let's remember Betty Davis. Also, this morning in Sunday school, Brother Jim reminded us we all need to do something very, very important, and that is to pray for the lost. And so I encourage you to do that too. And not only do you pray for them, but live before them, that they'll see a change in you, and that they'll see that's something that they want. And so let's remember the lost. Now, are there others this morning that I need to remember?
Leonard, I wanted to remember the people that's houses are being in danger in California.
In California. Yeah, those are some new fires, right?
Right, they're in San Diego.
All right, California fires. I looked at some of that again on the news, and it looked like a bomb had fell through there and just totally destroyed it. And so it was so sad indeed. Others?
Right, for Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy, that's right. Kathy's under the weather this morning, and let's remember her.
Okay. If you'll just remember Jessica Huntley, she's on the prayer list. Her due date is coming up very soon, and they have some preparations that they're going to be taking care of.
You say
Jessica Huntley.
Jessica Huntley, okay.
And just the loss of that baby.
Okay. And are the others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to come before you. And Lord, we come before you acknowledging, Lord, who you are. You are the Almighty God. You are all powerful. You're all knowing. And you're all loving. And Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, we want to remember those who specifically, Lord, who have asked for prayer this morning. We pray, Lord, for our nation as a whole, and we pray, Lord, for what's going on in our nation. But, Lord, those are specific needs that we need to bring before you. We pray for Jessica Hartley. We lift her up to you this morning. We pray for Kathy, who's homesick this morning. We ask you to continue to be with Justin Keplinger. Keep him strong, Lord, and get better and heal his body. And then Harry Stogner, who's dealing with cancer, Lord. And, Lord, we know that, Lord, he's unsure of things. And, Lord, we want it to comfort. And, Lord, most of all, Lord, if it be your precious will, and help us, Lord, to always do that, as ask for your will to be done. But, Lord, we pray that you would touch his body. Lord, I know you're able, and we ask you to touch his body. We pray for Kelly Jordan, who has cancer as well. We lift her up to you today, Lord. And then the Betty, Lord, we pray for Betty Davis, who she's having some hard times again, Lord. And for the California fires and those who are new fires that are starting in the San Diego area, Lord, we lift up those people to you that might be in the path of those fires. And Lord, we ask that you would be with all those who are dealing with it. Give them strength. We pray, Lord, you give them courage. Now, Lord, as we go forward in today's services, Lord, we ask that you touch Brother Ed as he comes before us, Lord. And Lord, as he brings a message for us for today. And all these blessings, Lord, I'll be very, very careful, Lord, to say that you are the one that we bring it to. And we'd pray in your sweet name, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good. We talked in Sunday school this morning. Isn't it good to be able to go to the Lord in prayer and feel better about it when you do? Isn't it wonderful? Where else could you do that? Knowing that you're praying to all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. I told him this morning, when I think about how great God is, sometimes I'm just lost for words, and I just say, whew, that's how good he is. You can't describe it. So thank God for that. Let's sing a song of praise this morning. Let's praise him as we do. As we sing, Take Time to Be Holy. Let's all stand, please. Seated. Pastor, I think you could take any one of these verses and preach, don't you?
Yeah, well, I was sitting there thinking I had a sermon that would go real good with that third verse, but I didn't finish it.
Children, you are dismissed.
I was thinking about that last phrase of that hymn too. Thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. Now, I don't know what your concept of heaven is, but I think some people think we're going to be sitting on a cloud strumming our harp, you know, all of eternity. But God's got things for us to do. It'll be amazed what he's got for us to do in heaven. And especially, you know, the thousand-year reign before we even get to totally heaven, you know, the millennium. He'll have things for us to do. It'll be interesting just to see all that the Lord has prepared for us. Now, many of you, especially the older folks here, I won't point any fingers, but we grew up gardening. We had a place out in the backyard where we plowed up and planted a garden. Now, some of you had little gardens. Some of you had great big ones. And I remember my dad, even in his older years, when he had neuropathy so bad he couldn't really walk, and the garden was just about as far from here to the back door, from the back door of the house. And he would stagger out there and then get out on his bottom and crawl up and down the rows picking beans or whatever and then bring them back to the edge of the yard, and Mom would come get them and bring them in the house. Somebody said, he may die out there. I said, he's going to die happy. Because that's what he loved to do. And, you know, it takes a while to plow and lay off some rows and then go by and drop corn seeds or bean seeds or, in the old days, tomato seed in the rows, and then get your hoe and go back and cover it up. And the day may be hot, it may be a little chilly, but it was all a part of the job. And I doubt that you had a thought at the end and said, you know, if I hadn't dropped that corn in those rows, I could have ground it up, had a cake of cornbread. If I hadn't dropped those beans in that row, I could put them in a pot and I could have had some beans and cornbread for supper. No, what did you do? You dropped it with the anticipation of the harvest. Because it's not much better than fresh corn. You can't mess up fresh corn unless you just absolutely forget, get it on the stove and burn it up. And who, and if you like tomatoes, fresh tomatoes are awesome. You know, it's just fantastic. You didn't do it with any sorrow or worry or fretting over losing your seed and what you could have done if you'd had the hadn't used the seed to plant in that garden. And the devil probably didn't oppose you much. I mean, he may have told you it's going to be too hot today, it's too cold today, or your back hurts, but the devil didn't oppose it much. But he doesn't much care whether you starve or not. But you did it with the anticipation. But you know, when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to walking with the Lord, It's an entirely different matter. The devil opposes us in so many ways when we try to serve the Lord. He's got more excuses, and he's been thinking up excuses for thousands of years, so it's amazing the excuses he has for serving the, for us not serving the Lord. And the regret sometimes he tries to give us when we do serve the Lord. How do you sow into God's kingdom? How do you sow into God's kingdom? First thing is, you sow yourself. Whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And nothing else matters if we don't do that. It doesn't matter how much we serve, how much we give, how many times we're baptized, how many churches we're members of. If we haven't first sown our hearts into the kingdom of God by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, it's all in vain. That's the starting point. And oh boy, the devil fights against that. You're not one of the chosen few. You're too young. You're too old. You've sinned too much. You've done this great, terrible sin. Well, they don't like you down at the church anyway. All kinds of excuses to keep us from sowing ourselves into the kingdom of God. But that's the starting point. The second point of sowing is sowing things that lead to spiritual growth. Things that lead to spiritual growth. Bible reading, studying, listening to sermons, listening to Christian music, reading good, thoughtful Christian books. And folks, we never get too old. Amen. I told my kids this year at Christmas, I said, please don't get me anything. I don't need anything else to dust. And I sure don't need anything else to eat that's going to make me fat. Or fatter, whichever the case may be. Well, Stephen and Jana made a contribution to Samaritan's Purse in my honor. That was great. But Sarah and Brian sent me 4 brand new Christian books. They're not really theologies, but they're good Christian teaching. I've just about finished the 4th one. What, yesterday was a month since Christmas? And it's amazing the truths that I've either learned or been relearned. Now, I talked about being old a minute ago. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, this one's still learning. This one's still learning. And you never get too old to learn from the Lord. Now, some of the things in some of these books were things that I've known for 40 years. But I'm reading along and I think, you know, I hadn't thought about that in 10 years. I need to go back to doing that. Christian growth. And putting ourselves where we can hear the word of God taught, preached. Not everybody that gets up and preaches from the Bible. I remember a guy I heard years and years ago. He preached some of the most beautiful sermons I've ever heard. But I always said they were cotton candy sermons. Remember, you go to the fair and they give you this big old wad of cotton candy on the little funnel thing? But what happens if you crush that all down? You'd have just a little dab of sugar. I mean, his sermons were beautiful, but he didn't say anything. I mean, they were poetic, but there were no Bible in it. There were no content to it. So we need to put ourselves where we can hear the word of God. We need to put ourselves where God's word is important to us, where we can grow. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if you can rightly divide the word of truth, that means you can wrongly divide the word of truth. Paul's saying, listen, we need to get into the word of God so that we might grow spiritually. And the point is allowing the Lord to speak to us. It's not just a matter of how much scripture you can read. Say, okay, I'm going to read 10 chapters today. And by the time you get your teeth brushed, you can't remember what a single word was from any of the 10 chapters. No, it's better if you read a chapter or if you just read one verse and meditate on it and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But sooner or later, we need to learn to grow. We sow ourselves when we're saved. We sow into the ministry and into the kingdom of God when we grow spiritually. How much are you growing spiritually? We sow into the kingdom of God when we minister. When we minister to others. All of you have talents. One way or the other, you have some talents. And if you're saved, you have at least one spiritual gift. There's several lists in the New Testament of spiritual gifts. You've got one or more of them. Are you using them for the kingdom of God? Are you using them to bless others? You may be preaching, you may be singing, you may be teaching, you may be changing diapers in a nursery. You may be calling somebody. You may be sending a card to somebody. It seems that with me, some weeks I do more ministry texting than I do here at the church. Because I don't have time to run to Georgia and to run to Virginia. But I have people that text me and say, you know, appreciate this, 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 this. Can you help me? There's all kinds of ways to minister. And the devil will say, oh, they don't appreciate it. They don't enjoy it. You're just wasting your time. You're too busy. And he can make us regret the time that we spend ministering to others. But folks, it's a joy to know that your life has touched somebody. And they may or may not ever know that it was your life that touched them. Or they may know. But God has given us opportunities to be a blessing to others. And we sow into the kingdom of God when we do that. We sow into the kingdom of God when we witness. You know, 1 Peter talks about always be ready to give an account for the hope that lies within you. Share Jesus. Share Jesus with lost people. Oh, the devil hates it when you do that. He will tell you, no, no, no. They're too hard-hearted. They'll never be saved. You're just going to embarrass yourself. They're going to ask you a Bible question that you can't answer. They're going to do some way or another. Just don't waste your time. Remember, Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I thought about the old song, will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown when at evening the sun goes down? Those of you that read the newsletter may remember that it's probably been about a year ago now. I wrote about an old Kentucky mountain preacher from the 20s, 30s, 40s. Started churches and crossed those mountains and where you had to wade the creeks to get to somebody's house. And on one occasion, later in his life, he said he was in a church service and somebody came in with a basket of roses. And they said, If the person that led you to Jesus is here, go pin a rose on his or her coat. And he said he was just embarrassed at how many roses covered his coat. He had spent a lifetime telling people about Jesus. The devil opposes it, but you'll never regret sharing Jesus with others. You'll never regret it. We also sow into the kingdom of God when we give financially. And the devil really opposes that as well. When you come and you put your offering in the plate or you hand it in the Sunday school hour, what goes through your mind? I tell you what goes through my mind. It's an act of obedience according to what the Word of God says to bring my tithes into the storehouse. But it's also an act of worship, saying, Lord, I love you, and I give because I love you. Not just because I want to obey you, but I give because I love you. And third, it's a sowing into the kingdom of God. It's a sowing into the kingdom of God. And you know, there's all kind of ways that we sow through our giving. We may sow into an organization that's more like, I'll say, the Billy Graham organization, that's major focus was on winning people to Jesus. Or we may sow into an organization like Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse, whose major ministry is helping people, showing up with disasters and are there in Samaritan's Purse boxes to kids all over the world. And now, their goal is also to win people to Jesus, but the focus is a little bit different. And it's not right or wrong to give to one or the other. And there's so many other great places to sow our seed into the kingdom of God. I wrote, you know, what, last week about giving through Brian and Sarah's church ministry missions to buy Bibles for preachers that don't own a Bible. I got so many Bibles at the house and so many translations. And if these guys could read English, I'd pack up and send some of them. But they speak Swahili or something else, and so they have to have a Bible in their language. But to try to preach and not even own a Bible. Oh, it's just, and I think they've given out somewhere over between 100 and 200 Bibles. What a blessing to be able to do, have a participation in that. We can minister through our giving. We can minister, and you know, and the devil says, I don't know about how he does you, but he said, now Ed, you don't really need to do that. I got my financial statement last week, and I took it to the house and went to working on my income tax, and the devil said, you know, if you had the money you gave in the last 3 years, not just to the church, but to other ministries, you could have paid off your house. And I thought, yeah, I could have, but I'd have missed the blessing of God. Turn with it to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where the thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You have a heavenly bank account. You have a heavenly bank account. And as we give, we're making deposits in that account. We mentioned earlier all of the devastation in California. $1 million houses gone up in flame. We think about North Carolina mountains. Maybe not $1 million houses, but houses and shacks and everything else gone in the floods from the hurricane. That quick. But nothing touches your heavenly bank account. We need to keep that in mind. What should it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Now, God's not opposed to you having a nice house or nice car or anything else. But we need to be understanding not to let the devil steal us of the blessing of adding to our heavenly bank account. You know, my first deposit was 20 cents. When I was about 10 years old, I had 3-mile Salisbury Evening Post paper route. Started off there around West Albemarle Church, went up the Pennington Road to Lakeview Church, came across, forgot what the name of that road is, and came out over at the Long Creek on 73 and then back to the house. And I made $2 a week. $2 a week. Man, I was, hey, for a 10-year-old boy back that long ago, that was big money. And boy, I was so proud to put my little 20 cents in the offering envelope and write my name on it and drop it in the offering plate. But it's just important to do that is some guy making $1,000 a week and putting in $100. And I've been contributing to my heavenly bank account ever since. And I'm not bragging and patting myself on the shoulder. I'm just telling it like it is. And it's accumulating interest. Now turn with me over to the book of Philippians. And I want to remind you of something. Philippians 4:19 is a verse we love to quote because it's a good promise from God and it's a true verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh yes, we love to quote that verse. My God will supply my need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. God's going to supply my need. But sometimes we forget to read verses 15 and 16. They come right before that. All right. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see, the Thessalonican Christians, the Philippian Christians, even when Paul wasn't there, they were sending him support. They were sending him gifts. And Paul says in another place, I can be lack or I can abound, but I'm thankful for the gifts that you send. You see, these people were dropping seed in the ground. And Paul says, on the basis of the seed that you've sown, God's going to supply your need. You can look out in your backyard at your garden spot, and if it hadn't been plowed, no seed been put in the ground, you're not going to get much harvest. That is the gospel truth. And if we don't sow any seed financially, we can't really claim God's harvest. But when we sow seed, we can claim a harvest. Now one more verse I want us to look at. Luke 18. Sure got quiet in here. And Luke 18, verse 28. And this is a beautiful promise. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." He's talking to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, we left it all. We left our farms, we left our tax collector's booth, we left our fishing boats, and we followed you." And then Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." Jesus said, you invest into the kingdom, you're going to be blessed in this world and in the world to come. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. I'm just reading what Jesus said. Jesus said, you invest, you sow into the kingdom, and I'm going to bless you now, and I'm going to bless you for all eternity. When you plant your garden, you plant it with joy, expectation, anticipation, not with sadness, not thinking, oh, what I've lost. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Plant into the kingdom of God your life, your ministry, your talents, your finances. Plant it with joy and expect a harvest. It's not always in money. Sometimes it's in people. Sometimes it's in blessing. Sometimes it's in pats on the back. But expect a harvest. How much do you have in your eternal bank account? It's been funny. Pull my phone out and I'm scrolling through and it says, "How does a $2 million retirement look?" And I thought, yeah. Or maybe, how much does $1 million retirement? Or $500,000 retirement? I said, man, I'm a preacher. I lived on preacher salary all those years. You got to be kidding me. But what's in our heavenly bank account? We need to do as well as we can for retirement. And you can tell I'm not going hungry. Please, you know, you can look and see that. But how short-sighted we are if we allow the devil to steal the seed. You remember Jesus told the parable of the soils. And he says sometimes soil falls on hard-packed seed, soil, and the birds come and steal it. And he said, that's the devil come and steal it. But he also says some falls in good soil and brings forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. Allow the Lord to lead you to sow your spiritual gifts, your witness, your finances, and anticipate a joyous harvest. How does the psalmist put it? He that goeth forth with tears, sowing precious seed, shall without a doubt come home rejoicing with the sheaves in his arms. Loose translation. As we come to a time of invitation, if you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If you need to become a part of this church family, we invite you to come and in any way that we receive members. And most of all, be a good spiritual gardener. Be a good spiritual gardener. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. Let me see.
So stand, please. I've decided to follow Jesus.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.